Wake up, Shinigami. You're chugging bleach with the only podcast that unlocked your bunkai.
Welcome to Chugging Bleach, the anime bleach-related podcast where we watch all of Bleach.
Don't get confused. This isn't our other Bleach-related podcast.
there's another one
we don't talk about that much.
Our Bleach-related podcast that's only about Bleach.
It's not an advertisement. It's an entertainment information experience.
Yes, it's mainly about how to wash clothes and that of the podcast. Very different from this podcast.
That one's sponsored by a company that starts with C.
I have with me today, as usual, Dan Video Games.
What are you doing here?
KZ, excellent.
My body instinctively reacts before interacting with Bleach, before my brain can see it.
In Mr. Feel.
I'm scared.
There's a reason to be scared, all right?
There is a reason to be scared.
And of course, I'm your host, Bob Video Games, the host of Chugging Bleach, the show that you're listening to right now.
Bob Anime Hat.
Yes. Today we watched the episodes 74 through 78 of the anime Bleach.
That's true.
I was in suspense. We could have switched to literally anything.
They don't know.
They have no
idea. I wish.
But before we get to those episodes, Phil, can you tell me about Patreon and how it lets you hear this show early?
Well, if you'd like to get this show early, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get early access to this and Mondo Cool, our Dragon Ball movie review podcast. You also get an exclusive monthly show that you get to vote to see what horrible or good thing we watch. And you also get extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions to other shows we do. And you get the extended cuts of those that we often don't get to, say on the show because they're structured by a cruel person. That's patreon.com/GBpodcasts.
Thank you, Phil. And for the first time, Dan is free from review duty of covering all the things that happen in these episodes. We are giving it to Phil.
Let me tell you.
I'll do my best.
This cut down on how many notes I took by about 30 or 50%. It was really weird to not fill several pages.
I wrote somewhere in the ballpark of 250 lines.
Okay, I'm excited.
That's great. Dan said while writing notes last night, why are all of my notes punchlines?
Because that's what mine were before I had to actually use them to remind me what happened in the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope your notes are better than, I think it was last episode or the episode before where you went, I watched this a week ago, why did I say Renji's Duke Nukem?
That
was a real mystery, actually.
We figured it out, though. We solved that.
It's a real thriller case.
We did.
It's because we're smart.
So we're starting with Bleach, episode 74. Previously, they murdered two children, and they turned into dust, and Ganju made a really hilarious smirk as he watched them die because he's a horrible person. He's not here anymore. He vanished.
Yeah.
He's got to work.
Like, Ganju just rules.
Ganju and Hanataro just removed themselves from existence as soon as that episode's credits hit. So we open on Ishida stumbling around with a head wound in the rain.
Oh, yeah. I just have written here Udayu on DMT.
Yeah, he's just stumbling around with a head wound. Everybody's looking for him. They're yelling. Orihime's boobs are drawn really big in this scene because she's adopting the nurturer role.
Oh.
Okay, we missed that.
So it's metaphorical.
Because the first shot of Udayu, me and Bob are shitting ourselves at how badly drawn it is.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even take notes on things looking bad because everything in these episodes look bad.
Here's that picture of Udayu, though.
Yeah,
it's a good picture of Udayu.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. I just for the record, because I want to make sure we're clear on things we state on this podcast, I did notice her boobs.
Okay,
you don't
good.
Want to go unknown.
I didn't understand the meaning until Phil explained it.
So,
yeah, nobody cared who I was until I
became the nurturer.
Yes. Yeah.
Come on.
Don't worry. She'll get more and more into that role as time goes on.
Now. Hold on. Before we continue, I'm just going to put this one in here now of this photo I got of Ichigo that looks really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everything looks really nice. Ishida shits and pisses himself and falls into a puddle. The Bount lady, whose name is unworthy of me committing to memory,
yeah.
shows up.
They don't say it enough in any of these episodes.
Yeah, they don't say it. They don't say it. Almost everybody else's name I picked up, every Bount's name I picked up on because they say them, but hers they do not say.
They're like,
so
hey,
she is
Koga.
Bount lady.
In, hey, yeah, Koga. In hey, a lot other of guy. Hey, other guy. Hey, Karya. Hey.
Yep.
And they don't say her name.
Hey, you.
Hey, yes, you. Female protagonist for this whole arc, apparently.
Hey, champ.
Yep. Hey, Oomphie.
Yeah, pretty much. She takes him back to her apartment that's from a David Cage game.
Yes. You know, it makes a little bit more sense now because she's an immortal being who probably has a lot of money.
They talk a little bit. She's like, I saved you because I saw something in your eyes.
Mm.
She pontificates about how she used to have emotions, but now she doesn't. She's like, yeah, I set up my apartment next to a Catholic school so I could hit on high schoolers. That's why there's bells ringing.
Oh, okay. My note just says, oh, so you live next to a bell to remind you that time passes and you continue to suck.
Don't spoil it.
Oh, okay. All I had was girl boss is cold.
All I wrote down was, oh man, Uryu says that he could have run away even though he was falling flat on his face.
Yeah, he has like four concussions. He's like, no, I could have run away. I totally could have. They cut to the Dark Lord candidates, the other Bounce, and Karya gives a vague speech about how the plot's about to start.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything. These episodes are very much, we have to fill the time. Just find something.
We didn't talk about that every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it beat us over the head every 10 minutes.
We cut back to Ishida, and he goes, you hate the passage of time, yet live next to a clock. Deep, isn't it?
And she was like, if it was possible, I would like to die. And I'm like,
He's like, yeah, I'd die if I couldn't. I'm like, okay, and that's cool.
And then the Castlevania music's playing in the background.
Yep.
This is like that Twilight book where the genders are swapped.
Stop that.
they talk some more. She's like, if you're immortal, you decide you're a god. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't sound like it follows at all.
Yeah.
And then it's like that you need to be careful. The other Bounce want a Quincy for some reason that we can't say it because we haven't come up with it. This is filler.
The filler within the filler.
Yeah. They cut to Soul Society. Kenpachi's talking to his guys. They say, we sensed Maki Ichinose in the human world. We don't know who that is. He has not appeared yet. Yachiru calls Makizo Aramaki Maki Maki while talking about Maki Ichinose, and it's confusing, but Yachiru doesn't think that it's confusing because Maki Maki is Maki Maki and Maki is Maki.
Yep.
This is very funny.
This checks out.
Mm-hmm. The end result of the meeting is they decide to do nothing.
That sounds like a lot of meetings that happen in this.
But it's a justification for a flashback. Isn't that enough?
Yeah, yeah. Kenpachi starts to have a flashback about killing people, which doesn't seem that unique because it's basically all he does. Maki challenged Kenpachi after Kenpachi killed the previous captain of Squad 11, but we knew that. But he gets stopped. He starts to seethe, so he quits Squad 11.
Yep.
Yachiru's like, oh, I'm happy he's alive. I thought he'd just kill himself after he left.
Because he looks so sad since his captain died.
And Kenpachi, foreshadowing, says, someone's keeping him alive.
Kenpachi, or as I like to call him, Senior Card Gauge.
Yeah, I know, that wasn't very good.
You know, I like Kenpachi's flashback look of just hair down, where I'm like, I'm being unnerved.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
At you.
They cut to Maki Ichinose with the Bount. With Akaria, the head Bount. Ichinose is Sam Riegel doing his cuck voice?
Yes, he is.
wait, that's Sam Riegel?
Yes.
That's Sam Riegel.
That's generally
the voice he does. That's the voice he does for Flynn in Tales of Vesperia, who is explicitly, who is like, I can change the system from the inside. And
that's always a bad line. That's his law cuck voice.
Yeah, and then and he's also Alphanaud in Final Fantasy 14, which is mostly the voice he's doing here. It's very funny.
I think this is especially good because he's also talking to Yuri from Vesperia, since that's Jean Carion.
Oh.
Oh, right. God, that was Troy Baker.
Yeah, it's Troy Baker.
Oh, God. The sub-bount with the snakes, whose name I forgot already because he doesn't matter.
Yeah, and he sucks.
I'm just going to keep calling him Snake Eyes in my head.
he talks about how being a cuck and just doing whatever the boss tells you owns, and that's what their conversation is about.
Yeah.
Ichigo, then they cut to Ichigo looking for Ishida in, like, a crowded mall, and he just grabs a guy who's very ugly but has a similar haircut.
Yes.
And I don't know why Ichigo expected Ishida to be rocking a t-shirt and jeans. He usually wears much nicer clothing than that. Then Ichigo just screams Ishida's name in the middle of a crowd like an insane person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we're going, why was this scene here? It's like, you gotta establish Ichigo still looking.
Yeah, so I'm just like, yeah, they sure did need to hit 24 minutes.
Don't worry, it gets really aggressive later when they have to recap us.
We cut back to Ishida in the Lady Bounce apartment. She's like, you don't own a bed frame, and then posts her apartment on our male living spaces.
There was one detail that I had in my notes that I just remembered in her flashback, where she talks about when she was
not
in a relationship.
We're not in that yet.
Oh, we're not in that yet?
We're not in the flashback. We're about to go into it.
Oh, okay, good.
She says a bunch of shit that doesn't matter, and Ishida's just nodding.
Yeah.
She then starts to explain her sad backstory of being immortal in what I presume is Europe, and she's dressed like a fucking Quaker.
Yeah?
What, like a cracker?
Like a Quaker.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Quaker Oats.
That's where the term Quaker Oats comes from.
I'm learning so much today.
Wow. Okay.
They show she just stayed in the same place, so everybody decided she was a witch because she doesn't age, so they tried to burn her, which makes me think this is Britain.
Okay.
So she's sitting in a burn-up church and is, like, going to stab herself in the throat. And then Karya appears, and he has long hair and looks like a douchebag.
His hair is absurd.
I have to say this right now. I fucking hate Karya's scar on his face. It's the worst character design quirk I've ever seen. It just makes him look like he's always drooling.
Oh, God!
I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I see it.
I cannot stand it.
You know, that wouldn't be as much of a problem if they could animate in these episodes with him.
Tragically, they can't.
Kari gives a speech about how infinite life is actually a blessing because you get to experience an infinite amount of joys, which sounds like a more sensible perspective than our mortality defines as cuck logic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go hang out and be like a trad couple for a while, and then he breaks up with her.
In some undescribed way, yeah.
Yeah, some undescribed way. Kari wants to get to Mexico so he can become God.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Ishida gets really indignant about it for some reason and starts yelling about him wanting to go against the rules of nature, and I don't know why this is a character trait for Ishida to get mad at this.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's very strange.
I don't know.
Isn't going to Mexico to become God the plot of Constantine the movie?
I don't know. I never saw that movie.
I can't remember where the Spear of Longinus was in that.
I thought it was in Mexico. Maybe not.
maybe. I don't know. I don't know, huh? Okay, we need to watch that again.
Also, by the way, it's called the Lance of Longinus.
Nope. No, it sure isn't.
Oh, okay.
Just like it's not called an Eva.
Karya killed a guy and ate his soul, or I guess eating his soul killed him, which is for some reason treated as meaningfully different than eating the soul after they're dead.
Yes.
Which frankly doesn't make much sense. Yeah, and they keep going back to this, and I'm like, what's the point of this distinction?
I get that it's cutting the life short, but at the same time, you're also removing it.
Obliterating them. You're obliterating them no matter what. And it feels like this, like, originally they just wanted these people to be fucking vampires.
Oh, yeah, no, these are like, for sure, vampires.
And they're like, no, we can't make them exactly like vampires, so they have to be stupid.
Yeah, because you could. It's really easy to write. Okay, the good vampire just would take blood from without killing someone. Just take from a blood donation bank or something.
Yeah, it's really easy like, to oh, do the that. Vampire. The vampire is like, oh, he takes people's lifeblood, so he's super powerful.
Right.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
It's dumb. The lady explains that she has to help take down Karya and then tells Ishida to stay in the room so nobody eats him. No. Ishida's like, you're suicidal. Don't go die. And she's like, no, I'm gonna.
And during this scene, they start playing the Final Fantasy IV love song again.
Yeah, they
and
do.
I could not believe it. I thought it was just going to show up once ever.
No, I was like, that plays a lot.
It's appropriate because Ishida is down bad and starts blushing because he's being groomed.
Yeah, he goes hard simp mode where he's like, I'll do anything for you.
It's rough.
Anything I can do to help.
And then Richard Epcar Koga is looming ominously as the episode ends and then the ending plays. And we get the Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers. Golden. Rangiku takes Hitsugeya to the bath and the clerk mistakes him to it for a child. So she tries to take him into the woman's bath. Laugh now.
Yeah, better than the rest of the episode.
You know, I was going to say about the whole he's being groomed. This would make a lot of sense if they used traditional vampire powers, but instead, for some reason,
it's just stupid.
In the shonen anime that they abruptly wrote vampires into, they all just have stands.
Weird.
I don't get it. You know? It's sure weird. It's sure weird that the first chunk of this arc had like weirdly JoJo-esque, you know, because territories in Yu obviously inspired stands later on, but and then they just have stands.
It's really hard to track.
I wouldn't have immediately just gone, I could pass off the JoJo thing if they didn't also have stands.
Having vampires is not very JoJo's. Like, Castlevania isn't JoJo's because it has vampires. It's JoJo's because you find a stone mask before a guy who freezes time and throws daggers.
But unfortunately it's like, yes, here are these vampires. They have stands. Also, we may, in fact, go to their mansion.
We have Dio at home.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Ganju is frozen, petrified on stairs.
That'd be funny. I wish Ganju had that big a role in this arc.
Yeah.
Man, I wish any part of these episodes had some thought put into it, like the climbing the stairs and then looking and you didn't climb any. That just made your brain go, what is happening? This is interesting.
I mean, all the plot that made you think was in that first set of filler episodes when they were in, like, the illusion room or they were doing Die Hard.
I was thinking so much about how much I wanted to turn it off, yes.
I was thinking about my escape plans.
The next set of episodes, I just go, I didn't actually watch these. Here are my jokes based on synopses I read online.
Man, the Bleach wiki writes like 8 pages an episode, so you could conceivably do that.
God. Not a chance.
Episode 75, there's a new opening. Some parts seem really obviously rotoscoped, like specifically the part where Ichigo's like stretching his hand out.
Yes, that is super obviously rotoscoping, and it's really neat.
Yes, but we can get to that when we review the intro.
Yes.
Like the splash shot at the end before the episode start is just Orihime's ass sticking out.
Yes.
Sure is.
The most generous fucking drawing of her ass I've ever fucking seen. Just like, yeah, this is the perfect angle. There's so much butt there, we promise.
So Ishida and the groomer, which is now what I'm calling her in my notes, are hanging out and the lights go out.
Oh no.
Richard Epcar breaks down the door. He's like, I'm here for you, groomer lady. She summons her dumb flame genie. Mm-hmm. There's a shot where Koga, which is Richard Epcar, I'll just start calling him Koga from now on, looks really insanely schlubby.
Yes.
Yes.
And like, I immediately just thought of Carl from Aqua Teen's Run Cycle as I saw that shot. He summons his stand, which is a weird bunch of floating balls that turn into like a spider puppet that has boobs. It's really shitty looking.
That looks like hexadecimal a little bit, or gave me those vibes.
A little bit.
Dulk.
Also, interesting to know, whenever both of them summon their stand things, they say Zaiga Dick.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that,
that probably
just,
means something, but I don't know what.
Zaiga Deek. And I'm like, oh, that's just the beginning of their summoning phrase, and then they say the name of their stand.
Yeah. Because they're like, we need something that's the same as the Zanpakuto, where they have to do a phrase.
I don't think they even do later in these
that's
episodes.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they do it later these episodes, Bob. I'm not even sure Snake Guy did it the first time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he did.
I think they just had this idea for this episode.
Here's hoping. There's 18 bounce or some shit.
Oh, it's just German. So it's just German for show yourself.
Oh, my God.
That's funny that they give them the German theme, but then a canon piece of Bleach later uses German for everything.
Yeah, I was like, aren't the... what?
Yeah, unfortunately, the filler's like, we'll do this. Clearly, Kubo won't touch this.
Kubo's all about Mexico. He's not going to get balls to the walls about Deutschland.
There definitely aren't things already pointing to that. Oh, well.
Oh, well. We're stupid.
We're on cruise control.
So the fight starts and it has the animation quality you can expect from a filler. The spider ball puppet is just shooting things with the little balls. Ishida picks up like a length of pipe and just immediately gets owned.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
The spider thing beats them up instantly and babbles about love. There's a really, really bad slow motion shot of Ishida trying to protect the groomer.
Oh, I have
like,
that
it's
written
embarrassingly
epic
bad.
Run scene.
The bound Koga's just like you can kill her, but don't kill him. The boss wants him. And then the spider lady starts attacking, and then they cut to the worst slow motion scene of Ishida running, and then he just plops down on her unmomentously.
And then they both get owned.
Well, no, she pulls back her balls and just goes, "Well, that's cheating."
Oh yeah,
it's like how unmomentous.
And I think the puppet calls him manly.
The puppet.
I think she's like, aren't you manly?
The puppet sure has lines.
Yeah.
And then I think we cut to the bout detectors leading the three mod souls leading everybody around and fighting with Ichigo. And they sense Ishida's energy. They're like, we gotta go get Ishida.
How?
And then because they can sense they sense his fucking energy, Casey, shut up.
Yeah, I wrote the note. What was it? Who said it specifically? Someone specifically said...
I think they say they can sense the residue of a bount. I think that's what they say. They can track the bount piss that they all leave around.
They're like, we sense Ishida's spiritual pressure. There we go. Rukia insists Uryu has spiritual pressure is what I wrote here.
I think in the subtitles it actually says, oh, can we use the spirit ribbons? And then they're like, no.
Yeah,
that's some steam cam shit of can I see it?
We brought in Kubo for one line and it was him saying no to the spirit ribbons.
Yeah.
Can I see it?
No. Crossed arms, wearing sunglasses.
They show up once the fight's over and everybody's gone. And they're like, they must have been fighting over Ishida. Then Kone gets really homophobic. And then he gets gay. And then he gets set on fire.
Yeah, that does all happen over the span of 40 seconds.
Yes, in that order.
I just wrote it as, he thinks about Uryu in a dress playing a princess and starts struggling.
Yes. I have it in my notes. It's like, they say they can't track a spirit ribbon, but they can track the bount residue that the bounts leave behind. Like they're fucking animals that just piss everywhere as they walk.
They just piss at shit as they go, fucking rippers.
I mean,
we're talking about how Kyuria is just always drooling.
That's true. Kyuria is always drooling, so that's it.
The mod souls run a bit about not having their bodies, and then she goes like, you can just put yourselves into your bodies, and then they all run and do it in a really fast scene.
Yeah.
So they have their normal bodies again.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
It was all right. They cut to Soul Society. Everybody's meeting with Boomerang Head, parentheses Mayuri. He's fucking pissed because somebody got into his computer and saw all his pornography and is like, whoever did that needs to come forward so I can kill them. Then they vaguely mention Aizen and everybody's reaction sought solemnly. And then Kenpachi's like, Ichinose must be involved in this. And they cut back to our Scooby-Doo gang, who are like, the mod souls sensed bount energy in this mansion that has a mysterious owner that nobody's ever seen. And then they cut to Groomer Bount just getting beaten up and thrown into a room while Karya smokes a cigarette outside.
Yeah, we talked about how clearly Karakura Town has no rich people except for Jean Karya. It's like, that's the reason. It's that one mansion.
Karya talks about Ishida a little bit and specifically calls him the Joker, which I think is pretty funny. There's it's so fucking nothing. Blah, blah, shades of gray. I can see in color now. Blah, blah, I'm immortal and evil.
Blah, 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 blah. Incredibly Ichigo. Uninteresting after all these and, years.
Yep. Ichigo and Rukia are outside getting ready to assault the Bount base. Then they cut back inside and they're like going to interrogate Ishida, who is being held immobile by the spider doll. She's like a chair and also hugging him.
You know, I just want to make sure real quick. We did the main crew find the mansion yet in your summary?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they're outside.
Did you cover the infallible logic of how they found it?
I don't think I did.
Someone rich lives in a mansion near here.
Yes.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, I did cover that. They're like, yeah, there's Bount energy in this mansion, and nobody's ever seen the owner.
Yeah,
it must be a Bount. Even though these people, the Bount are not sensitive to sunlight at all, so there's no reason for this to be a thing.
Yep.
Yeah, we were talking about, it's like, they're the only rich people in Karakura Town is Jin Karya with the one mansion.
Yep.
They just got told they couldn't do vampires after writing all this, and we're like, we're just going to change it a little bit and make it really stupid accidentally. Karya literally says, "We're not so different," to Ishida.
Yeah, he says it like three times. Yeah.
Well, like, you called it out before it was going to happen. I wrote "feel dirt" sound in my notes.
Bob called it out
after he said it once. He said it three times in a single sentence. It was unreal.
I was like, come on.
You and I aren't so different. You and I. You and I.
You and I.
Me.
Okay, Ishida, you should just join us and maybe we can restore your Quincy powers. And then Ishida seethes a little bit. And then I guess they're done, so they take him to his new bedroom. That at least is nicer than the one the groomer was trying to keep him in.
Yeah.
And
it's an upgrade.
And Koga's like, Karya is very dangerous. You should be grateful.
The spider lady putting Ishida in the bedroom's the funniest shit in the world.
Yes, it
looks very funny.
I was like, Dan, we need a gif of her opening the door.
She's not standing at full height. She's just half the height of the door and just smiling and looking at it and closes it.
It was so amazing.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Orihime and Chad immediately get lost and a spooky eyeball is following them. Rukia and Ichigo also get chased by eyeballs and have to run from the eyeballs that look really, really bad.
But they're inside the house, whereas Orihime and
they break out onto the roof
that
and then
far.
Get back in.
Yeah,
yeah, everybody gets separated immediately. Rukia and Ichigo end up inside the mansion and meet all the Bounts in front of Karya's symbolic painting of a witch hunt.
Whoa.
Just like DMC the DMC. There's a new ending. We will talk about that later.
I want to point out, during this episode, toward the end, they did the one track that I think is the funniest one in this part of the soundtrack, where it's the Castlevania style music, but there's a dude going,
oh. Yeah, that's true.
And whispering for some reason, and it's so funny every time it pops up.
Every time it pops up, I'm just like, Seema.
Episode preview, Rieran's like, I keep my body under your bed, Ichigo. I make you look like a pervert who keeps sex dolls, and then laughs.
Yes. Peak comedy.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden.
Headset mic guy is at a festival and needs to take a shit real bad. And a fox guy whose name, Kamakura, I think is fox guy's
Komamura.
Name. I forget his actual
Komamura.
Name.
Komamura.
Yeah, Komamura.
I think that's right.
Komamura's like, oh, the bathroom's over there. And it cuts to him, like, ending up in front of a pole with a dog pissing on it. And then he shits himself, and then the camera pulls out, and they show that there was the real bathroom right next to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. That is not exaggerated for comedy in any way.
So I was like, why do I have he shit himself in my notes? I'm like, who is he?
Episode 76. Karya stares creepily and everybody can sense his huge power level.
Dan, we're damaged. I have it written in my notes, the incomprehensible thing, Ganju causes terrorist acts.
Well, yeah, because I was like, we were talking about Ganju solved the last problem. What if Ganju just exploded this building by crashing a train or a plane into it?
So we just say that and I'm like, this will be incomprehensible to feel if I read this note.
Any second now, I expect Ganju to just arrive and shut all this down.
Kari starts talking about how he makes his business do everything so he can know a bunch of stuff and we're not supposed to question it.
Okay.
Snake Butler Bout starts doing the fear speech from Resident Evil Infinite Darkness.
Yeah.
This guy sucks so much with his clip-on goatee.
You're surprised to see us, which means you're afraid because it's the same thing.
I'm very smart.
Yeah, I'm very afraid of that sixth chicken nugget that came with my five piece.
Oh, no!
It could be anything. Could even be a spicy chicken nugget.
That's
too extreme for me, Bob.
The mod souls start doing shtick in front of all the antagonists. meanwhile, Rookie is like, I can tell from Kari's pedophile eyes that he must be a sexual predator.
It's an important power. Pedophile eyes. Is that a new Naruto bloodline technique?
Oh, God.
That's an old Naruto bloodline technique.
The character's voiced by Vic Mignogna.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
They bicker a little bit, and then the snake guy's like, okay, I'm gonna attack you. And then Ichigo parries the attack, and Rukia and the mod souls run.
I think the set Ichigo's of episodes like, would be better if they were as nonchalant as feel makes it sound.
They almost feel nonchalant, but not enough.
Okay, it doesn't feel like they're trying at all.
Right?
Ichigo's like, so it's 8 against 1, huh? And the butler's like, no, we don't work together. You soul reapers have to work together because you're cocks. We bounce are independent.
Yeah, we will explain why one-on-one fights.
Watch, I'll prove that they won't help. And he's like, so he talks to Kari, and he's like, Kari, put down your magic seal that lets you summon your doll, so if the others try to jump in, Ichigo can just effortlessly own you. And then Kari, for some reason, does it.
It's very smart, actually.
Snake guy uses his horrible power that isn't visually interesting or looks good at all, and it just sucks shit. They fight a little bit. A little bit.
I wrote down that he turned his arm into a snake sword, because I thought that was really dumb and looked bad.
Yes.
It was the tail of his snake, I think,
yeah,
which could now become
like
a spear
that.
For no reason.
It's real bad.
When it couldn't before, they're like, we can't just have his power being making snakes. That's really stupid. I just, this whole fight, I just hear Dan in my head, Dan impersonating Polnareff going, he can make snakes? That's sort of lame. The mod souls are like shitting and pissing and bickering all over as they run away with Rukia. They run into Maki Ichinose and they talk for 2 seconds and say nothing.
Yes.
I don't know who you're talking about. They get to show out that Rukia can't use Zanpakuto because filler.
Yeah, yep. Where I was like...
Because Kubo hasn't told them what it is yet.
Yeah, yes. So clearly all she would be able to do is swing a sword and not do anything with it.
That's not true. She's got her magic and it's definitely going to do a bunch of shit. I talked about how funny it would be if she was able to use that shit to just knock out multiple bounce.
She's as good at it as Aizen. Yeah. Like, no, I just eviscerate you.
I can summon the purple cube.
the mod souls like try to fuck with him with their tricks, and he just instantly rinses all three of them.
Yeah.
And impales all three of them.
Yeah, he moves all of, I don't know, 9 inches and just stabs in the correct directions and kills all three.
Yeah, it's real rough.
Rukia does her Kido and it just bounces off him. Because this is filler and she can't do anything. He starts mansplaining to her about it and telling her how what she could do to make it better. Rookie's like, if I had my full power, I'd own this guy really hard. And then Maki starts explaining that he's here because Kenpachi became his new boss and changed everything, and now he's really butthurt and is working with the bounce. And then that scene's over now.
There actually is a really specific part of that speech that gave Bob a stroke. Maki is serving the bounce because they live forever, a thing people in the Soul Society seemingly also do.
Yes, God.
I had to write that note because I'm like, I can't argue with Bob. That is really stupid.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
You need a team to be able to like get every detail out of this slime.
Oh yeah,
we're like steel wool here. You just scrape out every little crusty bit. Yeah,
the Teflon's gone.
They cut to Ishida in his room, and he's just sitting on the floor for no reason. Like, he's a moody teenager. It's like, I don't want to sit in the chair. I'm going to sit on the floor. And then he just starts limply pounding on the door because he can tell something is happening. And then they cut to the groomer just whining on the floor, being miserable. She doesn't do anything. It's just to establish she exists.
Yeah.
And to fill time in the episode.
Shake some keys.
Yes. Yes. They cut back to Ichigo fighting Snake Guy. Snake Guy is flailing a bunch and it looks really shitty. Yep. Ichigo teleports behind him using flash stuff and cuts him once. Snake Guy goes, you've done well so far, but can you handle my power that makes magic circles all over the room to make even more snakes?
Yes, that's his ultimate. It is Frieda's ultimate barrier.
Yeah, they act
snake
like
snake net.
Yes, snake net.
His explanation of this power is so fucking stupid.
They make up a bunch of nonsense pseudoscience and use the term spinal flexion wrong.
Yes.
Great. But yeah, I just wanted to say that the idea that the flash step is like some weird secret technique that Ichigo doesn't just use always is really stupid, and this is filler and they shouldn't do that.
Yep. Yep. And Kari is like, I know all about Soul Reaper stuff because I prepared for you to try and stop me.
That's how we know about Flash Stub.
And then the snakes slam Ichigo into the wall and they act like he's dead for some reason. Everybody acts like he's dead. And then Ichigo just immediately stands up and is like, you don't seem to understand. My dick is huge. And then does the Getsuga Tensho and just erases a bunch of the snakes and cuts him again.
Yeah, yes.
And blows a hole through the mansion.
Yeah, I'm glad he finally did it, because this is the first time he's done it since fighting Byakuya.
This is the Bleach version of how Goku will never go Super Saiyan until a certain point in the movie, even if it makes no sense.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's extended to Kamehameha-ing, even.
Yes.
And they keep trying to pretend Ichigo gains any battle damage at all during any of these episodes, but he has no scratch or blood on him at all.
Yeah, and even he says, he's spiritual really pressure protects me. And it's like, yes, nothing's getting done. Thank you,
anime. We check in with Chad and Orihime. They're still running from the eyeballs. That's their contribution so far.
Dan's favorite
I really
part
thought
of
in
these
filler,
episodes.
At least, they would get to do something.
No.
Then the butler guy's like, I used that big attack as an opportunity to steal Karia's stupid seal that summons his doll.
Whoa, the guy who uses snakes is a betrayer.
Oh my god.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah, around this period, we were like, oh god, this guy needs to go quickly, please. Please, no more of this guy. He grabs that. I'm like, oh, it's over. Oh man, he's gonna fucking get eviscerated.
Yeah. I'm really sad that they just have him annihilated by like Getsuha Tensho. Just like, no, it's over.
I love when someone becomes pathetic.
They had to do this bit where he's like, oh, Karia, I have your magical thing. And Karia's like, so? And then he immediately starts shitting and pissing his pants.
If you're in control, why are you shitting your pants right now?
Yeah. Kari's not doing anything. He's not like crackling with energy. He's just like, yeah, you have it, so. And the butler's just immediately pissing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I actually never disarmed myself, so you didn't really achieve anything. And then Maki shows up and instantly kills the butler guy.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just going to read these three notes. Note 19, I can't believe Snake Man's brilliant plan was to steal the Monjo. 20. He spent minutes talking shit. 21. The only thing that can block a doll is a doll.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Only dolls can
that
block
thing that
doll
makes no
attacks.
Sense. Except yeah. for the fact where Ichigo does that like 400 times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. During this episode.
Doesn't even Orihime block its doll attack?
I think yeah. so, during one of those sequences. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Chad does too.
Yeah, it's real bad.
It's genuinely insane. I should have figured Snake Guy was going to get fucked, because in the new intro, when they do the part of here's every villain, he's the only one not shown.
Yeah.
They show all of them.
Nowadays, they would show him and just delete him during the next episode's opening.
Yes.
That's what they do nowadays.
Mm-hmm. So, just to recap, we're fighting vampires whose special powers are personified elements or weird kooky designs.
They're just stands.
They're sentient.
Just say stand.
And the only thing that can stop their attacks is other people with said sentient personifications.
Except yes. it's wrong.
Except for they
Except
didn't
it's
do
wrong.
That. They just said yeah. they did.
Yep.
Holy shit. Come on.
Maki has killed the snake guy instantly with an attack where like a bunch of blades after images appear and the screen goes white.
He does the reading rainbow.
He does.
Yeah, he does the reading rainbow.
He spins his sword the same way a Fire Emblem Final Smash comes in.
Yes.
Before the critical yes. hit.
He asks Ichigo if he really beat Kenpachi and is like, well, okay, we're going to fight then now. And Ichigo's like, why are you working with the bounce? And he says, you're about to die, so there's no reason to tell you.
Very cool.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden.
They're having a lieutenant's meeting. Yachiru asks if a banana is a suitable snack to take on missions. Everybody stares. Byakuya is there for some reason, even though he's a captain and not a lieutenant. Byakuya says that fruit is an excellent source of nutrition and potassium, and a banana should be considered the main course, actually. Yes! And Yachiru is like, oh, Byakuya, you're so smart.
I love Byakuya.
And this was when yes. I thought, yeah, I should go eat that walnut butter I bought from Walmart that's quirky.
Oh, man, that shit was bad.
Yeah, no, it was
mad quirky. Episode 77. There's 2 minutes of recap because they have to fill time.
This was the one of the few things I remembered about the Bout arc is it's the first time they go intro, recap, last minute of the previous episode all in a row.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, man, why couldn't you just not be on the air?
Yeah, I'm really glad we've gotten to the point where these shows are allowed to stop for 8 months or a year and then come back.
It becomes that thing of, no, it's just too competitive. They'll lose that time slot and then it'll be hard to get it back.
Ruki is just standing around all the corpses of the Mount detectors. They're all dead. Leland's crying and Ruki just stares emotionally. She's basically now Sakura, so this is now the Naruto podcast.
No, let's go.
And we hit that early.
We talked about the bloodline technique earlier with the pedophile eyes.
We are fighting dreamers.
Oh, yeah.
The other two actually aren't hurt at all. And Leland gets really mad and beats up the one that looks like the Pokemon character because he was just pretending to be hurt. And the ninja one zips up his face mask entirely so he doesn't have to meet her gaze. It's really, it is minorly amusing.
Yes.
Yeah, anytime he does that, it's the best thing in the episode.
Yes.
Ichigo starts to fight Maki while the bounce watch. It's actually like a fight that makes any neurons fire in your brain at all. There's like movement and shit.
Yeah.
Maki has like a weird illusion power on his sword. They fight a little bit more and then Maki uses his Shikai, which I did not write down his like command. If anybody else did, they
flash
can read
flash and burst, Nijigasumi.
Yeah, I was like, who cares?
Flash and burst is funny.
It's
a combination of words that I went, you didn't even write this right for what that sort of thing is.
So Maki does his weird nebulous attack. They show a rough sketch of Ichigo just being torn to shreds.
Yep.
But Ichigo's like, no, I yelled really loud and that negated it.
Yep.
Yep.
Karia suddenly interrupts and is like, Ichigo, why don't you come live with us forever? You can come live with us forever, Ichigo. Just come live with us forever. And Ichigo's like, no!
And
then they're about to fight.
There's a really good line where Karya says, hey, don't. I'm interested in his soul.
Yeah, it sounds really gay.
Karya will handle it.
Maki starts having his really gay inner monologue in a flashback where he's mad at Kenpachi for killing his captain. They reuse a bunch of animation here.
God, yeah, like yeah, from half a minute easily. A completely unaltered half a minute. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
We just need to establish it again.
Kenpachi's like, I'm not gonna fight you because you're a little bitch. Here, I'll tell you what, if you can cut me even once, I'll fight you. And then Kenpachi just instantly eviscerates him.
Yep.
It almost and then just he happened literally, that screen.
Yes, yes. Well, that's money they would have to spend on animation. He literally calls Maki a cuck. He calls him a vine that can't exist without sticking to a tree.
Yeah, I just wrote that he calls him a tool.
My favorite part of this is that I'm writing down important power notes. You know, when you watch a shonen series, it's important to keep track of the powers and what they can and can't handle. I write down, Nijigasumi is not strong enough to counter being stabbed. Ichigo should try stabbing Maki. Because that is exactly how it plays out. He starts doing that shit and Tsuraki just stabs him.
Yep.
In the artery.
Yeah, it's really good. I wish more shonen fights went like this.
A lot do.
So much Kenpachi writing is the smartest shit in all of Bleach.
Yeah, even filler can't ruin him.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, I don't know. This seems pretty perfect all around.
So Maki goes to the human world and wanders around in the desert.
Yeah, I like that he just somehow wanders to the human world. And, like, completely unexplained. It's illegal, but also it should be really hard.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I just said it was the Sahara, and I'm like, don't challenge me on this.
He saves some people from a hollow that has a really funny run cycle. It just looks like
yes.
Flipping back and forth.
We had to roll it back. I was like, I need a GIF of this one, too.
Yeah, because they didn't draw the beginning of it walking, so it jumps feet forward.
Yeah, he snaps forward. It's so broken.
It's funny as shit.
Maki gets owned by the hollow, and then Karya shows up and pokes the hollow on the head and freezes it. And is like, you should finish the fight, because I'm just helping you. And then Maki immediately forgets what Kenpachi told him about standing on his own, and is like, yes, sir, you're my new boss.
Yep. Yep. It's very deep.
You know, this hollow had a somewhat interesting design. Do you think it'll just come back for no reason later in this arc?
It'll come back for some reason during some other filler.
Oh, no.
Maybe.
The hope you forgot the first time it showed up.
We cut back to the present, and Karya starts talking like the fucking Kurgan in Highlander and telling Ichigo how great it will be to be inside him once he eats Ichigo's soul. Ichigo tries to sword beam him, but Karya just teleports and backhands him across the room.
Yeah, that was great.
It's really good. It's important to note that Karya's secret technique of booping people on the eyebrow.
Yeah, he just pokes them, and then they're like, I can't move.
Yeah, he pokes Ichigo and freezes him, and then flicks him, and it sends him through a back wall. A fucking brick wall.
It's
And he's like, you're weak, and then just leaves. Yeah. Then fucking Uru and Jinta show up with a fucking rocket launcher and just start blasting the mansion.
Yeah, I write Ururu can take every bound.
Yeah, I was like, Ururu starts firing on the house, doing what Ganju should have done a long time ago.
Yes. Ururu, the original terrorist.
Yoruichi shows up to save Ichigo. Jobber number three, I don't even remember which jobber, maybe the eyeball one, I forget.
Shows up
and tries to do something, and she's just like, no, I'm way more powerful than you. I'm a real character. Yes. So you don't get to do anything.
Yeah, Yoruichi gets to use like her ultimate power here. But no, if Ichigo uses Bankai, the world explodes.
Yes.
She uses her big fucking aura thing, and all the bounce shit their pants.
And run.
It'd be so good if they just killed like half of them in that moment.
God, yeah.
They should have written like more of them.
That would have been so good.
It would have been like no more heroes.
Yes.
We would have cut to a detailed drawing of Yoruichi, and then it would have said rank 4.
Sheeta gets rescued by Rukia and the Mod Souls, and they also save the Groomer Bount, and then the Ninja One teleports everybody out. Chad and Orihime did nothing at all. That their role was just to run around and be shown occasionally during the section.
Yes, it's really absolutely bad. Also, a quick note, Vidin and Rukia are so short in this shot, they couldn't possibly see over a McDonald's counter.
It's real bad.
I fucking lost it. I'm like, this is insane. Tosh, you can see over a McDonald's counter, right? Because remember, everyone, Rukia is supposed to be the same height as Tosh. Yeah. So every time they draw her wrong, I'm like, this is freaking me out. Yeah. It's like if I entered a room and Tosh was my height and drawn by Clamp.
Yeah, right in this scene, they have her next to the mod hat, mod soul with the hat, and he's over twice her size.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're doing the thing where I'm like, based on the height positions, Lirin has to be 3 foot
yeah.
zero.
Yeah, we were like, she's got to be 3 feet tall because they're both half his height. This is insane. They're just slapping the countertop going chicken nugget.
Yes.
I like when you asked her, can you see over the counter? It's like, sometimes. It depends what's on the counter.
She's like, you know those things they put, those shelves, those cases? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And she's like, you know, with cookies. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yes. And she's like, I can't see over those. And I'm like, yeah, no, I did. I just met the counter.
Yoruichi shows up with Ichigo and it's like, everybody escaped. Woo. Then Khan's like, oh, Rukia, I want to nestle into your flat chest. And then she immediately stomps on him.
Yep.
Laugh now.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, nothing we do can make Cone lose because his standards are so low for winning. You stepped on me, that's a win for me, fucker.
The bounce all watch the Mount Mansion burn, and Kari's like, none of that mattered at all, but you still had to watch it. Who's the loser now?
It kills me that all the bounce are still there, and for no reason all the main characters leave.
Yes, it's terrible.
It's so bad.
Especially with the following episodes.
It's so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And then the bounce all get lost in the bushes.
I wish. Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden.
Byaki is still at the lieutenant's meeting. He's like, my lieutenant's gone, so I'm here. And then he shoves an entire meat bun into Yachiru's mouth, and she turns into that Miriam emote Dan has.
Yes, it's true.
Yes,
it's really good. This is the best arc in all of Bleach filler.
Yeah,
Thanks. Yes. Right here.
You posted this into the Discord and the entire set, I'm like, when's she gonna do it? When's it coming?
Episode 78. We open at Urahara shop. Ishida and the groomer bound are unconscious and in like futons. Jinta boiled water and Uru calls him stupid. Cone also calls him stupid, so Jinta starts to drown him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah,
that's good.
Sadly, he stopped when the big guy just screams at the top of his lungs that everybody needs to be quiet for the injured people, which is very funny. Ichigo is brooding because he got owned, and everybody's sitting in Urahara's tiny little living room.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad own, where just one finger.
Where he got flicked. Yeah. Yoruichi's like, Mayuri came up with something. He unlocked the data and started to show everyone his cringe compilation.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's funny because that scene happened, it ended, and I go, wait, what did... They literally led into the scene with Soul Society R&D came up with something, and I don't think it ended with anything impactful, and then everyone in the group agreed. It's just that the bounce are hypocritical assholes.
Mayuri's like, the bounce at the Quincy's were mortal enemies. Here's some VHS footage of them fighting, including some truly hilarious bow designs for the filler Quincy's. One just has, like, a gun. It is a bow.
Yeah,
it's like a Glock with like a bow on it. They fight the Quincy's. The fight with the Quincy's is when Bounce started eating living souls, which we've established isn't meaningfully different. Stop trying to make it like it is. The Quincy, they need a Quincy for some reason, but we don't know why. Mayuri goes, they're gonna start attacking humans, and everybody's shocked for no reason. Karya needs Ishida and a bunch of souls to get to Mexico, I guess. The episode is a lot of sitting around reiterating what we know over old footage.
Yes, sprinkled with unbelievably stupid lines such as Ichigo saying, what could he possibly do with more power?
He's already so... Well, that's part of his really fucking stupid arc we're about to go into.
Yeah, there's a scene in which Kari is just talking, and I'm slowly, like, dissipating, but then Dan says that Kari is a libertarian. And I'm like, he probably had an Asian wife at some point.
I forget what exactly he said sounded like that, where he was just like, the freedom of blank, true power, and I'm just like, uh-oh.
yeah, it was just that. So I like how my notes are Quincy's and Bounce fight, Karya probably had an Asian wife.
Ichigo's like malding that he couldn't beat this fucking loser jobber. Then suddenly, to even remotely save this episode, Ganju just rides a boar through Urahara's front door.
Yes.
Yes, Ganju yet again here to save the day.
He ditched Hanataro from his retail job, so Hanataro has like an enormous line at the convenience store. And the manager's like, I'm not gonna help. I'm gonna go see if he's in the bathroom. And then toddles off. Ganju's like, yeah, I stole that boar from the zoo.
It's important.
Everybody's like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
He's like, it's okay, it's a good boar. It's not my boar, but it's a good boar.
Yeah, it doesn't have four-wheel drive written in kanji on the side.
He literally came to laugh at Ichigo, as he fucking should. And Ichigo's just seething and radiating cuck energy, and everybody starts mocking him. And then Renji and Ganju were like, we're gonna go beat the shit out of Ichigo in your basement, Urahara, for losing to that horrible design. Then they cut to the Bounce just digging around in the rubble for no reason, because they have to fill time.
Yeah,
and they're like, yes, we will still use this mansion set.
And that's when I wrote in my notes, sometimes Radio Cone is 20 seconds, other times it's 22 minutes.
And we said, don't insult Radio Cone.
These are some really good ones, to be frank.
Yes.
Like, these Radio Cones are better than a lot of them have been.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good ones.
There are also several really bad ones.
Yeah, but I don't remember any of those ever. I always remember, I can't wait till we get to this one. It's the funniest thing they've ever done.
So, Cone is being hung on a clothesline by Jinta and crying, and Jinta's just harassing him. The big guy yells again.
Huh.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. Ishii just staring at the ceiling, like, on the futon, and trying to talk to the, talk to Groomer, and they talk in circles. What's he gonna do? I don't know. Do we really not know? No, we don't know. I can't believe we don't know. No, we really don't know. And so on and so forth.
We do
start to explain the Bount.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, they start to explain the Bount. Yes. Bounts were all born in a narrow time frame, and no Bounts existed before or after, and they can't have children, which makes me think this is like a really stupid fusion of vampires, and the director of this filler watched Highlander.
The Bounts are the result of a sudden mutation in humanity, was the phrasing, and yeah. Wow.
I just lost it because I'm like, yes, it's a filler. They will never come back after we kill all of them.
Yeah, no, we have insured ourselves away completely out of this.
Yes.
We will. You will never have to ask where they were during this part of the story because they're dead. We cut from that to Ganju and Renji basically hazing Ichigo. Mm-hmm. Ganji's smirking really hard. They're like making fun of him really hard. Like, dude, you got cut in half like 18 times during when you invaded Soul Society, but you got flicked and your spirit's broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's kind of really pathetic in a way I wasn't prepared for.
Yeah, Ganju and Renji are basically teaming up to bully him. So Renji's like fighting him while Ganju throws bombs and uses his sand to harass him. And then Ganju gets a call from Hanataro telling him to go back to work because he's suffering. And because he isn't Gin, he actually goes.
Yeah, during this section for this episode, I told Dan, I'm doing it this time. And then I just wrote my notes, this sucks.
Once Hanataro was shown earlier in the episode, I'm like, why aren't we just hanging out with Hanataro? That's so much better than everything else that's going on.
Yep, it's real sad.
You're like, you're at that mode, I feel like, where you wish that these were super high plot focus where things happened, and whatever they didn't want to do, they would just cut to the super fucking Power Ranger shit instead.
I have trouble imagining that being worse.
Yeah. Where it's like, it's better than the feeling like they're lost.
Groomer Bount and Ishida have a discussion about pride. That's it.
I didn't even write anything for that.
Yeah.
We go back to Renji, and he basically points out what I was thinking this entire time. Like, Ichigo, you became a little bitch for no reason. Get the fuck over it. And then he does. And he parries Renji's attack.
Ichigo, we wrote something at the end of the last episode that will waste one whole episode. And this episode is now ending, so stop. And he went, okay.
And then Renji starts shitting his pants because he's like, uh-oh, Ichigo's like 10 times stronger than me.
Yep. Then Groomer Bout like recovers from being hurt and was like, okay, I have to go die now. And then kisses Ishida on the forehead very creepily first and then leaves. Mm. And Yoruichi and Urahara watch and are like, she's going off to die. And Urahara's like, there may be no choice, which doesn't make any sense. But whatever. Like, he's a fucking dipshit.
Yeah, like, Urahara, you could just go and end all of this.
No, I'm sorry. I'm like, too busy standing on the street corner acting weird.
Like, everything else before
I'm
this.
Mad quirky.
He's had reason not to get involved. Uh-huh. But this is like, no, this is just a problem in the human world. You could just go fix it.
You're lucky they remembered to draw me in my own house.
Yeah, that's true.
and then Yoruichi almost literally says, this plot ain't fucking moving. I have to go back to Soul Society to get some information so maybe something can happen.
Yoruichi's like, I was too effective last time. I have now been sidelined because there aren't bushes big enough for me to get lost in. Good day.
It's like, I have no limiters. I will clearly solo anyone. I have to leave.
Yes. And then Ishida wakes up alone and is shocked. Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers.
Golden. Dorado.
Renji's like, Ichigo, you're a fucking idiot for not even knowing what Kariya did to you and losing without knowing what his power was. And then Ichigo's like, well, where the fuck were you, asshole? And Renji's like, you didn't call me. I'd have known because I have this phone. Oh, my battery was dead. Wah, wah. Wah, wah.
Please tune in again.
We're done. That's it.
Thank God.
Oh, boy.
Imagine these being the first five episodes you have to write notes for.
Thank you so much,
Phil. The only way it'd be worse is if it was that fucking set at the start of the filler. And you just don't show up.
Cut to me on a random street corner. Oh, that sounds real tough. Too bad I can't do anything.
Nice hat, man.
Thanks. I stole it from Bob.
Okay. We got a new intro outro, so we get to rate those.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Very excited. Let's do the opening first.
Okay.
This is a new opening with a song from Beat Crusaders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty good. I really like the song. I'll go ahead and review it first. I actually like this a good bit. I think the animation looks real nice. They got some cool diamonds they spin.
Yes.
They're in 3D, and the song is enjoyable. I'm going to give it like a 9. I think this is a really solid Bleach opening. KZ, how about you?
I also really like this one. The song is great. I like anytime they... take the Soul Society characters and give them modern trendy clothes.
Yes. It's always good.
Like, that's my favorite thing that they do. Yeah, I'm giving it a 9. It's like my second favorite opening that we had so far.
Dan?
Sorry, there are checks and balances and everything, and unfortunately I come in on a different side from this. I love everything about the animation and visual of the intro.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of the song. It's not like I hate it.
Okay.
It's just it doesn't keep pace with this really cool intro. Like, I love that they tried the rotoscoping thing. You don't see that enough. Like, I can't tell you how many anime intros I've ever seen with rotoscoping in it. I think the crystals look really good. I could have sworn I know Beat Crusaders for much better anime themes.
I feel like they've done a few Naruto ones, but I don't know anymore. I'm like, I know of them, but I'm not sure where to place them. Maybe there's it's
like
just
a,
this.
There's like a high chance because like animation studios usually partner with specific labels.
Right.
And since it's Piero doing Naruto and Bleach, they probably just cycle that in.
Right. But I think it's a really neat intro. It's not terrible or anything, but I'm not going to come in at a 9. I'm going to give it a 7 because while the visuals are great, the song is just leaving me every time.
Okay.
It doesn't have lasting mental hooks like the outro.
We are currently on a streak of English in our Bleach OPs. I hope we can get it to be a third.
I mean, I don't... I feel like everyone will always have it. It's an incredibly common trope in Japanese music.
I was like, you know, this is going to be really funny. I'm gonna make a joke where they're saying this thing instead of that Japanese. Like, you know, it's like yata, hapatai, you know? And then I look up and I see the subtitles are the thing I was going to joke about them saying. And I'm like, oh, shit, that is supposed to be English. Wow, this is rougher than a lot of anime themes. Because once we hit the end of the last intro, you know, where it is screaming about, like, there's no time or whatever.
There's no other.
Yeah, that actually came off as genuinely English, just really super rough because it's screamo.
Right.
This was, oh, that is, oh, I did not realize this time. But yeah, not the biggest fan of the theme. Really interesting visuals in the intro, though. Big fan of that.
A feel? What do you think?
I always like it when it's like, okay, we're just doing the Bleach fashion show.
Yes.
I'm not the hugest fan of the song, though, so I'm only going to give it like an 8.
Yeah, I, you know, I wrote notes in every episode for all the different cuts of the intro they use for the beginning title card. I, you know, Feel brought up the one with Orihime's generous depiction of her ass.
Yes.
I also wrote notes, episode 67 or 76, we get Ichigo on the couch with a paper bag mask above his head. He's lounging. It looks pretty good. A later episode, we get Chad with his paper bag mask, hanging out above, on a different couch. I think it looks amazing. Like those shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. They definitely look better than when we're getting still frames of the In Darkness characters that weren't meant to be held on screen for more than half a second. Like we did with that last intro.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a much... Because they also do the spin as it comes in, just like the intro, so it feels like more effort's being used here.
Yes.
Also, even Orihime had a bag mask for that shot.
That's true.
So you couldn't notice because of other things going on, but...
Yes.
Yeah, like,
yes.
Yeah, all of them ends up having it. They also showed, like...
Yeah, those are actually just like a recreation of, like, a two-page spread that Kubo did for, like, the opening of a chapter at one point. They're just like, okay, we're just going to split this into three bumpers.
Smart.
Yeah, when that popped up, I'm like, this is clearly what this is. I sure hope it isn't the random piece of trivia for this week.
Yep.
All right. Now we got to do the outro. I'll let Dan lead this time.
Why would you do that?
So this outro, it's got some better visuals than a lot of anime outros. I think it's really neat. The song hits you like a truck T-boning your brain because a harmonica explodes at max volume.
Man, I can't hear you. I went deaf sitting next to your right speaker.
It's a good song.
It was really good.
Oh no.
It was really good. It's just like 8 seconds and you just hear it start busting into an aughts harmonica solo and I'm like, what? I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. I'm sorry. That harmonica shit's so unreal. I feel like that really helps you set your anime theme apart.
I think you're right. I think it's strong.
Man. I'm not sure, like, how many other instruments you could go ham on in an anime intro, and it would stand out that much other than theremin and didgeridoo.
I feel like I've heard an anime song that was a didgeridoo. I need to see.
I'm sure you're right. Someone has to have gotten that desperate. But yeah, 8 out of 10, absolutely. The outro animations look pretty nice. It's definitely not slumming it, in my opinion. And the harmonica is going to make this shit stay in my brain forever.
Feel, what do you think about the harmonica?
I don't like this ending as much as the last one. I think the last one was a really good ending, and it like very.
Oh yeah,
it was very fitting for Bleach, and it featured you know, featured the Mod Souls who probably won't appear ever again after this arc because they're filler characters.
Yeah, the that was a pretty top tier outro.
This one's like a 7.
All right. I'll go ahead and go. Yeah, I think the song is actually really sticks with me. So I think it's good from that angle. I'm pretty disappointed in some of the animation for the outro, though. I think the outfits and stuff they do are nice, but just the panning of the characters looks really bad. And then I watched it like on the Crunchyroll upload to YouTube, and it was smoother than the Blu-ray, and I got upset.
What?
Yeah, because it looks all... Like, it doesn't look like it moves at the right pace on the Blu-ray. Like, it looks like it's jittery.
Oh, no.
But it doesn't look that way on the YouTube upload. So I'm like, what happened?
Did they make the outro at 60 but print the Blu-ray at 24 or some shit?
Maybe. I don't know. That probably something insane
that
like
make
that.
Any fucking sense.
But I'm gonna give it a 7. I like some of the outfits that show up in here. And like I said, the song is really memorable. I just think that the animation itself for the outro is pretty disappointing. What about you, KZ? How do you feel about harmonicas?
Oh, okay. Well, I think I'm going to give it a 6 for how many minutes my ears were ringing after being assaulted with the worst mixed part of this Blu-ray, where it's louder than everything else.
It's not louder than the Viz logo.
That's true. Nothing is louder than the Viz logo.
The only thing that can match it is the fucking Viz Media logo on those fucking Blu-rays.
Fucking idiots. Yeah. How loud should our logo be? The loudest humanly possible.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of like the animation part where I'm like, okay, you're just trying to get through this. But the song was okay.
All right, that's fair. All right, now we're moving on to my favorite part of this show. The Best Dressed Award.
And yeah,
I'll let Feel lead.
I'm gonna go with the groomer bout while she's dressed like a fucking Quaker and has like the bonnet and shit. It's a look you don't see. It's a look you don't see very much.
It's brave.
That's true.
All right, I'll go ahead and go. I'm gonna go with Orihime's outfit where she's got a sweater with a big N on it because she's.
That's true.
Oh no.
The big N sweater just made me think of Captain N.
Me too. I was just like, yeah, this is a Captain N outfit.
This is Captain N's girlfriend's outfit. This is
how about you, Dan?
Oh good. I don't need to end anyone's life. So Hitsugaya in the outro. Is it the outro? I wrote outro. I thought it was the intro, but outro wears a purple dress shirt. And it looks real sharp.
That's the outro, yeah. Where I almost selected that one, where he's got it's a purple dress shirt and suspenders, right?
Yes, very fancy. He's looking very, very fancy, and that's, you know, part of the reason I like the outro. They drew a number of characters in purple dress shirt.
Always a good choice.
I was like, then you know what? Good. Here's my best dress. If somebody takes it, I'm gonna have to break their legs.
KZ, what do you think?
All right, to make up for the fact that I always come in here with nothing, I have 2.
Oh,
first one, in the intro, they spin around and show trendy clothes for a bunch of characters. Kenpachi has so much drip in that, where he's got some sort of like scarf or bandana over half of his head.
Yeah, he looks like Furion from Final Fantasy 2.
Yes, he's got that look, and it's really fucking good. But the other one that made me laugh is in the first episode we watched, Ichigo's got a shirt with 96 on it, which I'm like, It you know, it's to show that he's the other Ichigo-looking guy, but instead of 69, it's 96.
Yes.
That's actually pretty funny.
Great.
That's right. Ichigo goes ass to ass.
Or Hime's ass to ass.
All right. Let's get out of here. See what else we got going. Dan, how excited are you to continue watching Bleach after these episodes?
Oh, not very.
Why? What happened?
They did a really good job of not getting much done in these episodes. There's not a good motivation for any of the action set pieces. There's not a good motivation or logical flow to any of the shit. Like, for example, how they enter the building.
Yeah.
Where certain people end up the whole time.
Yeah.
What characters are removed from what sequences and why.
Somehow we got this whole arc about this house that doesn't have anything going on.
And then the preview for the next episode shows them still in the wreckage of the house.
Like, dude, at this point, just do the 4 Saint Beasts or whatever shit from Yu-Yu and just have really cool set pieces in the house.
No.
Okay.
No thinking. All right.
That's fair.
Feel, what's insane tribute to have for me this week?
Golden.
Kubo uses a lot of different languages in Bleach because he thinks they sound cool. Is that true or false?
I think that sounds true. What do you think, KZ?
I'll just say no to be different.
I think he does it because he has trouble coming up with names for things and not because he necessarily thinks German sounds cool.
No, it's because he thinks it sounds cool. It's true.
Oh, no. Who could have seen this coming?
Yes. Whoa.
He says he thinks Spanish sounds passionate and German sounds methodical.
Okay. Well, now we know,
right?
Kubo racism arc.
Oh, no. Before we get to that arc, we need to rate this on our patented tightness scale.
Ah, yes.
It goes 0 to 25, so we can get a maximum of 100 between all of us. All right. Let's see. KZ, you can lead us off on what you think of these episodes.
I've been staring at this for a few minutes, you know. Okay. And I'm... Parts of this, I was entertained. I was like, okay, it's not great, but, you know. It's definitely a step down from our last set. I'm going to give it 10. Yeah, I'll give it a 10.
Okay. Locking it in.
Yeah.
Dan, you can go ahead and go.
Yeah, this was really bad. And it's hard to get invested in something when they can't find logical reasons for the characters to go to places or do things or lose or be removed from battle or... or anything, and anyone can show up at any time and become a terrorist and end an engagement, is what I'm learning this arc.
That was funny.
It was funny because it wasn't the same person, but it's exhausting because it's like, why am I watching? This encounter didn't end for a logical reason. It ended because you remembered a character was somewhere with weapons.
You remembered you could end this at any moment.
Ryan, wait a second, I'm writing this. I'm going to give it a 6. I'm feeling pretty low on these episodes. It's not the brain death that was the beginning of the Bound arc.
Yes, it is minorly better than that.
I'm looking here. It's I think it's so much better than the beginning of the Bound arc. It's better than the live action movie, but it's not as good as that really bad set during the Soul Society arc where Gutake is the dumbest character ever made.
Yes, because that... To some extent, those episodes followed a logical flow.
Yeah, for most of it, except for that one episode, but that's fine.
But we're not going to worry about that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go. I'm giving this a 7. It's really rough. It's really rough. Like, this is notably worse than the last set, but not as bad as that first set of Bound episodes, because those were insane.
Yes. That really set a high bar for bad Bound episodes.
Yes. Because nothing in this is bad as the museum. God.
We got to figure out this puzzle.
All right, Phil, you get to lead us out.
7. Like, this was real. This wasn't as dire as the first set of episodes in this season of filler, but boy, it's bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. There are some moments of joy in it, which is what makes it so different from those episodes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why these episodes get a combined 30 points instead of a combined 18 points.
Yes.
Yeah, like generally there are moments where I'm like, okay, the bit where Ichigo says, well, why don't you just throw your things into a gi like together. You don't have to like do it separately.
Yeah.
And then Lirin has a literal line in the episode going, I was just pretending to be stupid.
Yes. That was some of the best writing that character will probably ever see.
I mean, the best setup and payoff in this entire set of episodes is when the manager at the convenience store is like, instead of helping you run this register and get the line lower, I'm going to go get Ganju out of the toilet. And he walks over to the bathroom and Ganju comes out with the dirt cloud and just goes, hey, what's up? I was definitely in there. The manager goes, see, I knew it.
He's like, look at all this fart gas.
It was the most realistic Bleach maybe has ever been.
Instead of helping, I'm going to go get someone else to help, even though they're allegedly shitting.
Yes.
Now, I've noticed that there's a special tilt on my review score where I'll give it a bonus anytime the last episode's really bad and I'm afraid that it will continue in the next episode.
Oh.
Which is how I was with Ichigo, where I'm like, if Ichigo's still sad. and does not solve this now, they're going to lose points right now.
Look,
in the same way.
Oh, God.
Like with those twins in the last set where I'm like, they need to die now. They desperately need to die now.
Just imagine like the 7-episode arc of Ichigo is scared of this jobber.
Oh, no, please.
That's just the entire next set, and it's our first set that gets like a 2.
That'd be real dire. I don't want to think about it, so bye.
Oh, okay, bye.
Bye.
Golden.
Thanks for listening. Shows like Mondo Cool and Chugging Bleach are only possible thanks to our wonderful supporters over on Patreon. If you head on over to patreon.com/GBpodcasts and pledge at the $5 or above level, you not only get early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool before they're released to the public, but you'll also gain access to exclusive shows like Armchair Devs Extra and Cursed Content by Committee. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.